been just a real privilege to be here. I was thinking about that. He's talking about the Book of Life. Wish his worst enemy. And in the same way, there's been some times I've wanted to wish my mother-in-law, but the Lord won't let me. So I still pray for her. I pray she gets saved. But I wouldn't wish my worst enemy or even my mother-in-law to hell. I would like to see her get saved and make it to heaven. But been good. Appreciate what you said, brother. Get talking about faith, and there's some things I believe God's dealing in my heart about, and I want to do them, and it's like, how? And it's going to be by faith. And so there's just some stuff. But one other thing I'm doing by faith is I'm going to preach this message by faith today. Another thing, you did that extemporaneous illustration. I'm not doing an extemporaneous sermon today, but it's almost extemporaneous. I have a skeleton of an outline, and that's it. So maybe the Lord knows you guys are just really tired, and we'll be real short today. You know, I mean, if God doesn't get in it, it won't be long. I guarantee you that. So take your Bibles and go to 2 Samuel 14. 2 Samuel 14. I rarely, if ever, do this. I always, and I say always, 99% of the time have a sermon that is introed, pointed, sub-pointed, illustrated, prayed over, verses memorized. I mean, it's, I'm ready to go. The gun's loaded. Let's go. You know, that's generally my mode of operation today. It's not that way. I'm like, Lord, now, you know, because I had another sermon along the same subject lines. I said, Lord, I can, you know, and he's like, seemed like this way. And I'm like, but God, you know, and I'm just like, you know, this is just, I am out of my comfort zone. I just want you to know I am out of my comfort zone this morning. So, we'll just see. I mean, some of you, you're quick thinkers, you know, and, you know, on your feet, you know, the thing quick on your feet. I am not. When I'm in a situation, I freeze up, man. It's just like, you know. So, like I say, if God doesn't get in it, we'll freeze up, we're done, and we'll go have soup and sandwiches. And, amen. So, 2 Samuel 14, we'll just start here. 2 Samuel 14, let's start in verse 1. 2 Samuel 14, verse 1. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab said, sent to Tekoa, and fetched thence a wise woman, and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on now mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king and speak on this matter unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. And when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, Help, O king. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead. And thy handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family has risen against thine handmaid. And they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew. And we will destroy the heir, and we will destroy the heir also, and so they shall quench my coal, which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. And the king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee. And the woman of Tekoa said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. The law allowed that revenger of blood to go take that guy's life in this story. Now, it's a fictitious story. I mean, it's made up, but David didn't know that. And the king said, whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. Then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldest not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he said, as the Lord liveth, that's swearing by God right there, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. Then the woman said, let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king. And he said, say on. And the woman said, wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again as banished. For we must needs die, and are as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that as banished be not expelled from him. Now therefore that I am come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, it is because the people have made me afraid, and thy handmaid said, I will now speak unto the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid. For the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance. Then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable, for as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore the Lord thy God will be with thee. Then the king answered and said unto the woman, hide not from me, I pray thee the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. I like this old English conversation. I enjoy just that. And there's some of this right here really has nothing to do with the sermon, but there's just something I really like here, and I just want to read it. That's all. But verse 19, and the king said, is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? Now watch, I love this answer. And the woman answered and said, as thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king has spoken. I like that. She didn't just say, oh, yeah, you're right. No, she said, none can turn to the right hand or the left from aught that my lord the king has spoken. That's just eloquent. You know, it's just something about that. For thy servant Joab, he bade me, and he put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid. But I'd like you to notice verse 14, and that's what I'll be preaching on, Lord willing, this morning. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that is banished, be not expelled from him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as always, we need you. God, without thee we can do nothing. And Father, I pray now that you would cover us in thy blood. I pray, God, that you clear our minds and our hearts from the cares and distractions of this life. And Father, I need thee. I need you just as much today as any time. But God, would you please bless this message as far as I know. This is what you want me to preach. And God, if there's somebody here today that's never been born again, God, if they're not saved and they're on their way to hell, God, would you please speak to their heart? And God, I pray they not look at me or the church or people or anything. But I pray, God, they'd get their eyes on you in eternity and realize they need to get saved. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts, and I pray thy will be done, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It says there in verse 14, it says, for we must needs die, and are as water spilled on the ground. I'd like to preach a sermon that I'm going to try and call the spilled water. But it's an amazing thing to be likened unto water. But have you ever spilled something? I was thinking about Brother McFadden up here preaching that night, and the water's here, and he knocked it over. You know, he's preaching on hell, and I didn't see the bottle go over, but I could hear it going, bloop, 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 bloop. You know, and I'm like, that sounds like running water. And he's like, oh, man, what have I done? And water's going everywhere, you know, and they grabbed the bottle, you know, and stuff. And so then people came up, pastor came up and got the stuff, and they started, you know what they did? They were gathering it up. But here it says it can't be gathered up. You say, what's the difference? This water spilled on the ground. When you spill water on the ground, you don't gather it up. It doesn't, you know, it's gone, man. And it's just spilled on the ground. Now, what's going on here? David's son, if you know your Bible, Absalom killed Amnon because Amnon had messed up with... sister, there you go. See, note's not right. But anyway, I mean, he was just kind of seeking vengeance, but he was actually, you know, that guy deserved death according to law anyway. But he's running. He's in another town. He's away from there. And Joab knows that. And there's something going on there with Joab because later on, I mean, they get together and try to, you know, take over and stuff. But, you know, and he fetches this woman. I notice she's a wise woman there in verse 2. You know, that's a name for a Wiccan witch, is a wise woman. This woman could be a witch, something like that. But she brings this fictitious story and then says, therefore, we must needs die, and there is water spilled on the ground. And I want to say, number one, you're going to die. You're going to die. And we don't like thinking about death. I mentioned that last night about that veils and the veil between mortality and immortality. But you're going to die. You need to face that. You need to realize something. You're going someplace when you die. I mean, one of these days you're going to leave your body, because in your body there's a soul. And that soul is going somewhere for eternity. You're going to abide either in heaven or you're going to abide in hell. There is no purgatory. There's none. I'll get to that in the next point. But you are going to die. It's amazing how man wants to think he's invincible. Or if you're young, I mean, kids think, oh my, I got a big long life ahead of me. You have no idea when you're going to die. Man, that other story I told last night about that 12-year-old girl dying of cancer. I mean, you go to the hospitals, you go to the children's ward, there's all kinds of kids in there with diseases and things, and they're dying, they're not going to make it. And whether it's soon or whether it's later, you are going to die. That's all there is to it. You're going to leave your body one day, and you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And you need to be ready. I hope you don't go to hell. I mean, it's already been mentioned about the Book of Life. Is your name in the Book of Life, as far as you know? Does the Lord know you? I'm thinking about the story I heard up there at Torrey Carter's. Jimmy Hood told it. And Jimmy Hood was... on the streets, rough life, and had his buddies with him. They were closing down the bar there till it closed at like 2 a.m. And they were on motorcycles and you know, fighting and stuff, and they were closing down the bar and leaving. And his friend, I forget the guy's name, he told it. But they were leaving the bar, and for some reason, he said he didn't even know why the guy did this. He said they came out into the cool night air after getting out of the bar, and his friend just looked up in the sky and raised his fist and said, God, you just try to kill me. Like challenging God. Something to that effect. And they got on their motorcycles and they're going down the road, and they were speeding or something on their motorcycles, and the cops started chasing them. And he said his friend had already had 4 tickets in the last couple weeks, and one more ticket, he's going to jail, and he was on probation, different things. I don't know, some of it's just bad. And they're starting to go, you know, they're you know, high speed. And they decided, you know, we're going to split up. And so there was four of them. Two of them split up. The cops are still on Jimmy and his friend. And he said, I got to draw him away from him because he knew about the tickets he had. And so he slowed down, took a turn to see if the cops would follow him. They went after that guy. And that guy's moving along, and laid his cycle down, sliding, and with his head hit the corner of a cement step, split his head open, and died. And Jimmy thought about that and said, less than an hour earlier, he shook his hand at God and said, "You just try." And God said, "Okay," and took him out. You say, "Well, yeah, but he challenged God. I haven't done that." No, but you're going to die. You're going to die. I mean, one of these days, you're leaving it all behind. All your house and lands and everything, it's all going to be left behind. It says, "For we must needs die." And you are going to die. And it says there, "For we must needs die, and there is water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again." There's no reincarnation. Once you spill that water on the ground, it's gone. It's done. It doesn't matter if the ground's wet. Doesn't matter if the ground's dry. When the water gets on the ground, it gets soaked up or it gets blended in with all the other water. The water that gets spilled is gone. You're not going to gather it up again. There is no second chance. There is no reincarnation. There is no purgatory. There is none of that stuff. When you die, it's over. You're into eternity, and it's too late to come back and say, "God, would you give me a second chance?" That's not going to happen. I mean, your life, when God says done, it's done. And you don't have power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, the Bible says. You can't, "Well, I'll just, you know, this, or I'll choose." Now, some people try to and commit suicide, but even that's not a sure thing. I mean, some of them try and they don't make it, and they end up crippled for years and all that sort of thing. But it's as water spilled on the ground, and once it's over, it's over. It can't be gathered up again. It's amazing how people want to do that stuff. Just so many religions say, "Well, there's another chance. You'll get another chance, or you can do that." Just on and on and on. And there is no second chance. It's right now. It's right now. All right now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved now. You need to be born again now. You say, "Well, that preacher is just trying to scare me." Yeah, I am. I don't want you to go to hell. You say, "Well, yeah." You see, you don't think you will. You just don't think you're that bad. But your life's going to be over. You don't know when. And if you're not born again, you're going to hell. You need to get saved. You really do. Amen, amen, amen. And it says, "Whereas water spilled on the ground." It's something to think of yourself, just water. What is that? Not much. Not much. I mean, just a cup of water, done, over. And when your life's over, I mean, the water gets spilled on the ground, soaks in, and people look at it, and, "Oh, no. Well, nothing we can do about it now." And they, you know what happens? It's going about their business. And after you die, a few years pass, not too many people going to think about you. You know that? There really aren't. I mean, I think about a couple, you know, my grandma and some people, you know, from years back, and they've gone home with the Lord, but I don't think about them that often. And you know what? When I go, I'm not going to be thought about much. Just not. You say, why? People are into themselves. You know, it's all about them, generally speaking, you know. And once you're gone, oh, they're gone, okay, and it's done, and that's it, you know. But your life's over. Listen, you need to get saved so that you will live forever with God. And not just, you know, life's over, done. She says, "Therefore, we must needs die." You're going to die. "And are as water spilled on the ground." Just, there it is. You know where you're going back to? You're going back to the ground. I mean, you're going to be laid in the dirt or in the ocean or somewhere, and your body's going to rot and stink, and the maggots and stuff going to eat it, and you're going to be gone. But your soul's going somewhere, and you better be prepared for eternity. And Jesus Christ is who you need to prepare you for eternity. Not a religion, not a church, none of that. It's Jesus Christ. You realize this is the only church, not this church, but the Baptists are one of the very few. I had to qualify that because I was thinking maybe some Church of God or stuff like that. But Christianity or Baptists, generally speaking, are the only ones that are not promoting their church in order for you to achieve eternity in heaven. We don't promote a church. We promote Jesus Christ. That's who you need. It's not through this church. But he says there, we are as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Once it's over, it's over. It's over. It's over. And it says there, neither doth God respect any person. Doesn't matter who you are, you're going to die. Doesn't matter who you are. I mean, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I mean, that last breath, you know, people, that's what scares me about dying. You know, you say the pain and stuff. I don't like thinking, you know, possible pain, but it's that, you know, trying to get that last breath. Something about when you can't breathe and the panic comes up and all that sort of thing, you know, and that involuntary reaction in your body to just try to keep on going. I don't like that. But, you know, how it'll be, I don't know. But one of these days you're stepping out of your body. Now, God, there's no respect to persons, and you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. But the question is, are you saved? Have you been born again? Have you asked Jesus Christ come to your heart and save you? Neither doth God respect any person. It's through Jesus Christ and nowhere else. You got to be saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And you say, well, I just don't know. Well, then find out. Well, I just don't know if it's the real thing. Well, then study. Some people say, well, I don't know. Well, we're talking about eternity. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about heaven or hell. Well, I just don't know. And then you go on and watch a football game or, you know, go on and do something. The thing is, you really don't care. And I'm just trying to wake you up. You ought to care. And you ought to start research. Say, well, I don't know if I can trust you. You can't trust me. How many preachers tell you that? I mean, you can't trust me. What's that Bible say? Let God be true and every man a liar. No, you can't trust me. You can't go by me. You know what you need? You need what God said. And you need to read what God said and find out between you and God what's right and wrong. And, well, I just don't know. Well, you better find out. You better find out. I mean, eternity is heaven or hell. You better find out where you're headed. And if you can't trust what a preacher says or something like that according to this book, then you get that book and you start reading that book and you start praying and saying, God, if you're up there, I need to know and you need to find out what God requires in order for you to get to heaven. It's amazing how many people are just not concerned. And you need to be concerned. Man, this is not a game. And he says there, neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means. I'm so thankful that when Adam and Eve sinned and the fall took place, God devised means to make heaven available to his banished, to make heaven available to those that had fallen, that are in sin, that we're all sinners, but God devised it. It originated with God, and he said, I'm going to make a way that they can make it to heaven, and I'm going to pay for their sins, and then they just have to choose me. You know, the other night, and I was like, man, I in my standards, I guess, I'd say. I botched an explanation, and so maybe I'll just clarify it right now. But, you know, and I was going on, they're saying, you know, why is there suffering? Oh, you know, if God's God, why is there suffering? You know, if God could create a creation where there's no suffering, then why didn't He? And if He allowed for all the suffering, then I would never worship a God like that. And that's an atheist argument, thinking they're real smart and they're just fools. The Bible says, fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the thing is, could God have created a creation where there's no suffering and where everything automatically did right? Yeah, it could have done that. Yep. But the thing is, I mean, over in Japan, I see every once in a while you see these news articles, they're making these robots. Japanese real big on these robots, you know, and all these things. And they had got these robots, you know, that look like a pretty Japanese girl, you know. And they got this one that looked like Donald Duck or something, I don't know. But up in the space station or something like that. But they make all these robots and things, you know, do all stuff. How do you love something that always does right? How do you do that? How do you love something that just automatically just always does right? There's no love in there. You just program it, and there it is. That's not it. But that Bible says God is love. And so how do you do that? So God allowed sin to enter. God created. You realize all the creatures that God created have a free will, not just man. The cherubs, the angels, everything has a free will. Lucifer had a free will. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I mean, he's there, the highest of God's creation. I mean, all of it, they had a free will from top to bottom. And God did that knowing that it was going to, sooner or later, somebody was going to, and Lucifer did. And it fell. And you say, he allowed that? Yeah, he did. He allowed that. Sure did. Well, how could he allow that? I mean, he just, and the atheists say, then God, it's your fault. And bottom line, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But like I said the other night, you know what he did? He made the atonement. And he paid for all the sin and all the wickedness and all the stuff that's come in, the corruption and everything. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for all the wrong that he allowed to come in. He paid for it all. He devised means to let his banished come back. The thing is now, the responsibility is on you to choose Him. That's all. Choose Jesus Christ. Admit you're no good. And you know what God says? Say, oh, God's just so hard. No, He's not. He said, look, I've paid for all your sins. I shed my blood, your sins, your ticket to heaven, it's all paid for. Would you just admit you can't do it on your own? And would you choose me? Would you just choose what I did for you? That's it. That's it, man. I mean, God said, would you just choose? You know what God wants? He wants to love His creation, and He has, and He shed His blood. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's loved His creation. You know what He wants? He wants His people in His creation. He wants it all. It's not going to happen, but He wants you to love Him back. He wants you to love Him back. He wants... We realize in eternity, everybody in eternity that's in heaven and just with God forever, everybody, including the angels, are there because they chose to be there. They weren't forced. There was no coercion, none of that. They chose to be with God, and they get to be there. And everybody in hell chose not to be with God. It's that simple. It's just that the ones that choose not to be are weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth forever and ever and ever. But God's devised means that those that have been banished, those that are away from God, those that are dead in trespasses and sins, can be made new, can be made whole, can be made spiritually alive, and make it to heaven. He says, there yet doth God, doth He devise means. I'm glad He did. And His means was coming down to this earth and living a perfect life. And going to the cross and shedding His blood and paying the price for my sins and your sins. That's the means God devised to reconcile you to Him. It says, doth He devise means that is banished be not expelled from Him. It's not God's will for you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to be expelled. I mean, the Bible, there's different illustrations of hell, but one of them, it says He'll cast them into outer darkness. And by that casting, it's not just a dropping, but He just throws them. He just, get out of here. And just, they're gone. And they're expelled. And they're into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. He wants you to get saved. I nobody said anything to me. I don't know. I just what I believe I should preach. But if you're here today and you're not saved, please, please. You say, well, I'm not sure. I think I am. Why don't you make sure? Why would you gamble? Why would you gamble with eternity? Why would you gamble when the Bible says you can know? You can know you have eternal life. God has made a way for you to know that you're going to heaven. And it's through Jesus Christ. And if there's someone here today and you don't know for sure, God has devised the means for you to know. You need to make sure. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that You'd speak to hearts. God, I'm so glad that